Good morning, I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me this morning is Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
We appreciate you taking some time here today. We're going to talk about a few different things. First thing is CWD, chronic wasting disease. Got some meetings coming up.
Correct. We folks may remember, it would have been fall, winter of 2019. We worked on our statewide chronic wasting disease management plan. And as part of that, we had a series of meetings with the idea being that the first, and we had these all over the state, but the first meeting was kind of an informational CWD 101. Here's what the disease is, how we think it spreads, you know, kind of the basics. And then the idea was, you know, people would then, you know, come to that meeting, get a foundation of knowledge, come to the second meeting and say, hey, okay, what are some action plans you think we should do? And we had great participation in those meetings, for sure. One thing we heard was people said, hey, we want to keep hearing about this. We want to hear more about, you know, results from monitoring efforts, all these things. So this is, we're circling back, going to offer again a meeting that is going to cover, again, a lot of the basics of the disease for folks who don't know much about it or want to know more. One thing I noticed at those meetings is people have lots of questions. You know, it's a pretty complex disease. And then also, you know, some discussion of monitoring efforts around the state and locally, what we're seeing, those kinds of things. So just an attempt to reach back out, give folks the opportunity to come and learn about the disease. And the person leading it is Hank Edwards, who is our wildlife laboratory supervisor out of Laramie. He's been there more than 20 years and so has worked with issues surrounding this disease for decades. Very knowledgeable, lots of great information, presents it in a way that's very easy to understand. So certainly if you have any interest, I would suggest, you know, trying to make it if you can. And there will be plenty of times for questions and discussion. And we actually have two meetings in the Sheridan region. We wanted to kind of spread it out. The first one will be this coming Wednesday night at Sheridan College, and that's part of their fall science lecture series that they do. This will actually be the kickoff, and that will be at 7 p.m. at Sheridan College in the Mars Agriculture Center. The nice thing about that one is there will be a Zoom link. So folks who don't want to travel up or, you know, live too far away to come, you can participate virtually and watch that online.
So will they be able to ask questions through the Zoom meeting, or is that more of just a watch it from the Zoom?
You know, the college is running that portion of it through their system. I assume, you know, with the Zoom meetings I've done, there's a chat function and you're able to do that. So I assume folks will have that option. The college will be running that. If not, give us a call, you know, for sure. You know, if you see something and you have a question about it, you're not able to ask it, give a call to the regional office. Depending on where you're located, we'll get you in touch with the local biologist and you could ask your question for sure, because we do want to make sure folks have all the information that they want. And so that Zoom link you can find if you go to the Game and Fish homepage. There's a link at the top that says regional offices, and then you can choose Sheridan. And when you click on Sheridan, the very first story that comes up is chronic wasting disease meetings. And if you click on that, I have the link in there that'll take you right there. Okay. So that's the first meeting. That's Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at Sheridan College. We're also going to have a second one in Gillette the next night, Thursday night, at Campbell County Library. And we'll start a little bit earlier with that one at 6:30. Again, everyone's invited. There is no virtual option for that one, but just did want to give folks over in that corner of the state an opportunity to come and ask questions.
Certainly. So those upcoming meetings, and then a little more on CWD, monitoring, transport, disposal, all those sort of things.
Yeah, it's hunting season is upon us. It is here. And just want to remind folks, there are some rules in place for transport and disposal of carcasses, because if an animal is infected, it can be a source of infection as you move that carcass around. So rules state basically, if you harvest an animal and you process it on site, you take all of the edible portions of meat that you're required to, you can leave the carcass there at the site of the kill because that's where the animal was naturally moving. If you take it home, for example, to process it yourself, if you remove it from the field for any reason, then that carcass needs to get into an approved landfill when you are done processing it. It cannot, you know, even if you own your own property, please don't go, you know, put it out somewhere on the back 40. Don't take it to a neighbor's. Don't take it to state land, public land, thinking, oh, scavengers will get it. Because those carcasses can be a source of infection then, either if other animals come and investigate it, or actually it, those prions can get into the soil and into the environment. So if you process it on site, it can stay there. Of course, best practice, go ahead and remove it if you would like. You know, getting those carcasses off the landscape is probably a good thing. And get it into an approved landfill. All the landfills around here do take carcasses. I think a very small fee, you know, weight-based. So it's very minimal. And we do have a couple options for folks. We've run in the past couple years. The Bureau of Land Management here in Buffalo has, for the past three years, this will be the third year, they have provided a carcass dumpster where you can go and dispose of that carcass in the dumpster, and they pay for that to get removed by a sanitation company and taken again to the landfill where it should end up. So I don't know exactly where they're going to run those. Last year, I think one was on the pullout heading up the mountain here on 16, and another one I think was out east. I'm not sure where they're going to run them this year, but we'll be sure to advertise those when we find out. And then there's also one we ran for the first time last year on Highway 14 between Dayton and Ranchester. There's a pullout there. We ran that last year. We are going to run that one again this year. So a couple opportunities there for folks. If you can't make it to a landfill, those carcass dumpsters are available.
And that's convenient for people because it probably gives them more motivation to go ahead and take that animal with you. Now you know you can just toss it in this dumpster rather than having to make a trip out to the dump and all that sort of thing.
Correct. Yeah, it really is a great thing. And we actually, so they're not going to, at least the one in Dayton Ranchester, it'll be placed just a couple days before the October 1st opener. But we have had people call already and ask where it is, you know, because archery season's open and folks have asked where it is. So it's not in place yet. It will be here before long, up until, you know, between now and then, go ahead and make sure it gets to a landfill nearby. But it is a huge help if folks do that. You know, disposing of these carcasses later out on public land or private land or dumping them along the road or whatever, you know, you are violating the rules, but it also looks bad. You know, it doesn't look good for non-hunters to see carcasses out. So it's just a good thing to get those out of the field into a landfill after you've processed them.
Okay. And you guys are collecting samples from certain areas to be tested?
We are. A few years ago, I think 3 years now, we changed the monitoring that we did. Instead of blanket testing across the state to see where it was showing up in new places, we started focusing on specific herds in every region of the state on a rotating basis. And the goal is to get at least 200 samples. So, for example, in mule deer herds, we want to get at least 200 samples from buck, mule deer out of a herd unit. And that just gives us a statistically valid sample. You know, if you take four samples and one's positive, you know, you say, oh, well, that's a high rate. But if you had 10 samples and one was positive. So having a lot of samples just gives us better data. And so therefore, in these different areas, as it rotates around in the region, there's a big effort from game and fish personnel to contact hunters in the field, be at check stations, meat processors, things like that, to try to collect as many samples as we can during the hunting season. So you may get approached, and it's voluntary. At this point, we don't have any mandatory areas here. It's just voluntary, but definitely helps us out. The target areas this year for deer are actually over in the Black Hills, that far northeast corner of the state, deer hunt areas 1 through 6. And then here in our area, elk hunt areas 33 and 34 are target areas. So again, you might have a game and fish person approach you and say, hey, we're trying to collect samples. It does take a few minutes. We take a set of lymph nodes from the neck and then fill out a short data sheet, because that's really the meat of the information, right, is where that animal was harvested. That is really important. So takes a few minutes, not terribly long. We'll give you a unique identifying number. You go online then, give it 10 to 14 days, go online, and you can log in and check your results and see if CWD was detected or not detected in that sample.
And so that's great if you come across, game and fish. But what if, you're out there hunting and you're just by yourself and you don't come across a check station or anything like that? Can the hunter remove those lymph nodes and turn them in themselves? How exactly do they go about that?
Sure. So if you want your animal tested, we have more and more people who say, hey, I would like to know. A couple different options. If you are in the vicinity of the Sheridan Regional Office, during regular business hours, you can bring either the whole animal or just the head in to be sampled. We have people, most of us there at the office are able to take a sample. So you can bring the head there. The only thing, if you bring just the head, one, make sure it's not frozen because we cannot get in and do what we need to do if it's frozen. Or the other thing we see is people cut it off actually too short. Those lymph nodes sit 2 or 3 inches below the jawline there. So give, a little space from the jawline down several inches, because if not, you may accidentally, cut too closely and not bring us the sample that we need. So that's one option. You can do that. Or, like you said, there is a way to do it yourself, for sure. We created a new video last year that shows in detail how to collect the lymph nodes that are needed for this. And it's not hard, but it is helpful to see, where they're located, where you need to cut on the animal, that kind of thing. So there's a very helpful video online that walks you through that. And there is a data sheet online, just like what we fill out, that you would fill out. You would print out, fill out again, a really exact as possible location is beneficial, because if these come back as CWD being detected in a sample, we want to put that on a map because we want to see where we have this. And so again, fill out that data sheet as thorough as possible and just double bag the lymph nodes. There's an address right on that data sheet. Keep it cooled or frozen and mail it in. And same thing, you'll get results 10 to 14 days. Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it does take a little longer. We have one lab in Laramie doing samples, literally thousands from all over the state. So kind of depending week to week on the volume that's getting sent in, it may take a little longer, a little shorter, but certainly happy to do that for folks if they would like to see the results from that test.
Okay. And you mentioned, hunting season, archery season's upon us, and gun season coming up here pretty soon. What do you want to remind people of with hunting season?
Yeah, just a couple of things. One, we get a lot of questions with our check stations. So we do set up check stations in different parts of the region throughout the season. And one thing we see a lot of is people are out hunting, but they don't have an animal. And so they drive past the check station because they don't have anything to check in. And you do still have to stop, actually. It is required by law. If you pass an open check station going to or from your hunting location, you do have to stop. And in that case, we'll get you right back on the road pretty quick. But even that's helpful information to us, because we will, visit with you. Where are you headed? How long have you been hunting? Are you seeing anything? But if you do have an animal, that's where we collect a lot of data. Our biologists are there. They're going to you know, take disease samples if needed, either CWD, brucellosis, sometimes in elk. So this will be a target area this year for that. They need a vial of blood. So there might be disease sampling. They're going to look at the condition of your animal, get a gender, get an approximate age, different measurements maybe of antlers or horns. So a lot of data collection happens at these check stations.
So I know a lot of hunters probably see the check stations and just think they're being checked to see if what they did was legal or not.
Right.
Or they had the right licenses, all that sort of thing. But it's also, as you just mentioned, about data collection.
Absolutely. It gives our biologists a way to get, you know, physically see a lot of animals and collect a lot of data. You know, it's pretty amazing to watch them, you know, be able to look and say, hey, I got an approximate age on this animal, and, you know, look at body condition and all those things. So it just really is helpful, just from the biological end of things. So definitely, you know, if you pass one, they're well marked along the highway, stop in. Even if you have an animal, we're still going to try and get you back on the road as quickly as possible after we take all the information we need. Along those lines, a reminder, double check your licenses. We always get a lot of confusion this year, every year we get a lot of confusion. Make sure if your license limits you to, you know, antlered only or doe or fawn or antlerless, you know, take a look at your license type. And sometimes they do change, you know, different regulations change. Double check those regulations, double check your license type, what's required for that. If you do have something that limits you to gender or age or something like that, make sure you're saving evidence of that on the animal. So, you know, a head, a tail, udders, something like that. Make sure you're, you know, even if you process much of it in the field, make sure you save some of that to prove, you know, hey, you know, this was a doe or this was a buck or whatnot. So, another thing we get a lot of questions about is off-road driving, where you can camp, things like that. And you need to check with the land management agency on where you're going to be going. So now would be the time to give a call to the Forest Service, give a call to the BLM, get online, check and see, you know, where's camping allowed, not allowed, off-road vehicle use, all of that stuff. Do a little research now, certainly before it gets really busy.
Yeah, and if hunters are out there and they maybe see somebody else committing a violation, what do you recommend they do?
Well, we encourage folks to, first off, be a good witness. You know, really pay attention to, you know, the time, right, and write it down. It's so easy to forget, but if you can, write down what time it is, where you are, what you're seeing, a description of the person, what they're wearing, a vehicle description, a license plate is ideal, of course, you know, that's the best thing. Be a good witness, write down as much as you can about what you think you saw happen. And we do have, you know, sometimes people call and it wasn't a violation, but you know, they weren't sure, they were concerned, and our wardens follow up on all of that. And on the flip side of that, our wardens are able to make a lot of cases successfully from help from the public. You know, obviously, there's a lot of country here. We got people out every single day, but they can't be everywhere. So definitely, the public is a huge help if they see something that is not right or they think is not right. Write it down. The best thing to do is call. You can either go online if you want. There's a stop poaching link on our website, or you can call 877-WGFD-TIP. It's a Wyoming Game and Fish Department tip. And that'll take you to dispatch. They'll get your information, your location, where all this happens, and they're kind of keeping track of wardens and where they are, and they'll try and get in contact with the person who is closest to respond to that, or at least give you a call back and say, hey, what did you see? Let me get some more information, that kind of thing. So, and people can remain anonymous. We get that question a lot, like, I really don't want to. You can remain anonymous if you choose to do so. That being said, our wardens would like your name and contact information so they can correspond with you. But, you know, they
They don't need to tell the person.
They don't need to, right, yeah. You can remain anonymous if you see something. So, but yeah, it is a huge help when the public calls in and reports things.
And I would assume you recommend going that route rather than confronting the person, considering all these people have guns.
Correct, yeah. We don't ever suggest that you confront or approach anyone. You know, again, just from a distance. Watch, write down what you can, and report that as soon as possible.
Okay. Well, we've covered kind of a lot here this morning. Anything else before we wrap it up?
Gosh, I don't think so. I think we'll probably have a little more in October. I'll try to circle back with locations of those carcass dumpsters when I find out. We do have a map online, and that'll be updated, too, once we get all of those. So if people are going to other parts of the state, too, we have... you know, not necessarily always carcass dumpsters, but landfills and places like that that will take a carcass. So if you're going anywhere else in the state as well, that map is pretty handy. And a reminder, I guess, regulations. We printed a lot fewer this year than we have in past years. So if you...
Meaning there's less regulations? No.
there's less printed regulations. And... we do have some copies. So what we're encouraging folks to do, they're right online on our homepage. First thing when you come in, you can click on any of, you know, whether you're looking for game birds or big game, whatever. You can either download them to your phone. If you're at home, maybe print out a copy. Of course, it's always really great to have a copy with you in the field, you know, because you're not always going to have self-service. You can't look it up. You may wonder like, you know, what's this boundary or whatnot? So good thing if you can save it on your phone or print it out at home. If you don't have the means to do that, give us a call, come into the office. We will get you a hard copy. We're just asking folks who can do it digitally to do it digitally. If you can't, we will make sure you get a copy in hand for you.
Okay. All right. Talking with Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Christina, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll see you next month. And everybody keep those dials tuned right here, KBBS.